You mentioned before about when you were little working in the potato patch.
Yes, I used to be very good because I was small yet. Probably about 6 years old. Dad used to say I was the best one to plant potatoes because I always got the ice on the top. You know, I was small, so I could bend very easily if I did drop one accidentally. And then there's always the potato bugs. So I decided on a scheme. Well, if I was going to pick those miserable-looking things, Dad would say, he's going to pay me for this job. Not a very nice job. So I take my little bottle and imagine, you know, these, when they're baby bugs, they're very funny looking, pinkish. They're pinkish. They don't have this top shell or whatever, you know. And that's the ones to get at because those are the ones that eat the leaves. And then they'd have these eggs. First the other ones would lay the eggs and then these young ones would eat the leaves. So we made sure we got every little one off. We'd get a bottle full. We couldn't count those too much, but the mother and father ones we could count, and about 10 for a penny or something like that. So then my dad would spill them over to a can and add kerosene to it to burn them. Get rid of them because they were really pesky things. So we turned this discouraging job into a little money-making deal.
You told me once before about a doll that your mother made for you. Could you describe that?
Yes. It was made all out of cloth, and she stuffed it with bits of clothing, you know.
Old clothing.
Yeah, she didn't have no stuffing. It was a little bit hard, but she embroidered a face on it. And she'd sew clothes on it, possibly, like the hands and the feet and the, like a suit or dress or something. She'd take this cloth, you know, different color, and kind of applique it.
Yeah.
It was a very nice looking doll.
Did she make more, just that one for you?
No, she'd make one for my sister, too. We'd have several of them. I don't have any of those now. My first doll that I really remember would be the one that my sister got for me. Mm-hmm. We used to keep on going to this grocery store. It was by the name of Kiwik Peters. And it was like a general store.
Where was that?
In Kewaunee. And I admired this doll. It was in a box. It was towards Christmas, and they had nice dolls in boxes. And they had the prices on, and this one in particular, I'd always go and look at. My sister had a dollar that she'd gotten as a gift, I'm sure. And one day, she purchased this doll for me and gave it to me. And I think that was it was certainly one of the very nicest gifts I'd ever gotten because it was given with a lot of feeling. I knew that she could have used that dollar many times herself. And she had given it to me. So, I sewed on that doll many, many times. Then I later gave it back to her as a gift for her oldest daughter.
Really?
Yeah, all the clothes that I'd sewed for her, and I used to love to sew. It was all hand sewing. I didn't sew much on the machine.
Did you learn that from your mother?
Yes, I did. And so I presented my daughter with this. I said, here, you can give her oldest daughter was Mary, and I said, you give Mary this doll. It had an awful lot of remembrance for me.
Yeah.
It was in very good shape. I took very good care of it, and it was a beautiful doll. It had a bonnet, it had shoes, these little white sort of cloth, I don't know, composition shoe, the little kind of a silk rayon socks, and little under things and a dress, and it had eyes that opened and shut. That was very important. It had hair, nice curly hair. But the main thing, it had a wardrobe, and I gave it to her. I had made all these clothes for her, but the thought that I often think of now, that she parted with that dollar, whole dollar, and bought the doll for me. She never went too much for dolls because, well, she was always with the elderly people and she was very anxious to learn things. And she got a lot of information when she discussed things with my mother, and my mother would tell her about the olden times, you know. And where I was 3 years younger, and I, well, like I always say, I like dolls. I spoiled dolls, yeah. And but my sister never did too much of that. She'd acquire knowledge. She always wanted to learn more about things.
Did other mothers in the area make dolls for their children, like your mother made that doll for you?
Well, I imagine so. We were, I tell you, we were rather a poor family. Huh. We had to do with a lot of things. But mother was a very good cook and very good Dad was too, but you see, he had to be out making the dough. Yeah. And so he wasn't out too much on the farm. The boys, by that time, had gotten bigger, and they would help mother with the farm work. And there was always extra money, you know, when you worked out.
And was sewing like your mother's art? Because she did do it for other people.
Yes, she made very nice clothes. She was very good seamstress.
Did she have much time for decorative sewing at all? Or was she too busy working?
Well, she made our Sunday dresses. They were pretty. She made my first communion dress. She made my sister dress also.
Oh.
And
she had time for things like dolls.
Right. It was a yellow and white dotted Swiss. It was yellow with white dots. She had a little lace. You could buy this lace. You can buy lace like that. She had lace on it. Yes, I would say she did decorative sewing. She could knit, too. I wish she could knit like she did. She had cut her finger on a fruit jar, I know. She did all her own canning, and that one season, she cut her finger very deeply. She didn't go to the doctor with that one, either.
Carbolic acid on it?
I suppose. And that winter, or fall, she knitted 17 pairs of men's socks. Mm. Because in those days, they used to have these rubbers to go in the barn and do their chores. And they put these heavy woolen socks, because, you know, there was a lot of room in those rubbers. Instead of shoes, they put socks and then rubbers. Because, you know, there's a lot of moisture in the barn there. Even two pair of socks sometimes they were. So she made all these socks with her finger extending out because she had a very sore finger. It must have been sore an awful long time. And 70 pair of socks is an awful lot of knitting. She used to spin her own yarn and she used to dye it too.
What? Oh. You know, did you have your own sheep too?
Right. My folks would shear their own sheep and she prepared this wool for it. They used to card it for their own quilts too. The carding, they pull it apart, you know, and then get it flat and laid in such a little place. They had a cheesecloth first, they laid, and then do some more like that. Put another little bunch there. And you add on your bunches till made a flat. Now they used to just buy it in a roll and lay it out like I did there. That isn't even wool either. Polyester, but. She made all the quilts. In fact, I haven't made a quilt, and I'm married 43 years, I haven't made a quilt yet. I have blankets that I use, but I still have mother's quilts that she made for me. Which I can't just say I did that much for my own daughters. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have to get busy.
Really a wonder, that mother.
She was. She was. She was one peach of a mother. Very dedicated person.
You mentioned once before about a taffy pull that you had at your house.
Oh, yes.
Your brothers had.
Well, I recall mostly when we went to my older sister's place. We had to take the horse and buggy and we'd go, and my sister and I would go. We'd sit at the bottom, and my mother and dad would sit on the high seat, you know. Mm-hmm. And we had to go. Well, they lived on a farm, too. In fact, I had two sisters that lived possibly a few miles apart. There was always this. Now, did you go by Mary first, or did you go by Irene first? You know, they'd always ask, are you coming from home, or did you go to one place first or the other one, you know? So we'd always change. I mean, sometimes we'd go one place first, and then we'd go visit the other one. We always visit them both.
Yeah.
in the course of the day, like on Sunday, because, well, we didn't know when we were going to come again. The next time we'd go to the other place first.
No.
Then you'd play partial to one or the other, you know, yeah. Play favorites. And my sister would put this great big black frying pan on the stove. I imagine she put butter in there, y'all. Butter. Then she'd make this candy. Mm-hmm. And then came the time to pull it. Oh, that was fun. We'd all get in on this candy pulley taffy. And then she'd snip it with the scissors, you know.
Yeah.
And we'd have a nice treat.
How often did you do something like that?
Just about every time we came. Or I would say maybe once a month or twice a month. So you have to remember there was a distance.
Yeah.
Of several miles. Possibly 10 miles, 12 miles. I'm a poor judge as far as distances. But
was that just a family taffy pull, or would the neighbors come?
No, this was more or less the family. I imagine they had their get-togethers, parties, because their boys later on played in the orchestra. Well, they started their own band. I have a nephew that's very talented. He can read notes and that. He never took up music, but he had a gift for it. But then the different neighbors' boys would come, or their friends would come, and then there probably were four or five in this orchestra, and they'd practice. Can you imagine all this in one house? But that was fun too. And they'd stay for a meal or lunch. There was always food.
Was that kind of a party type thing when they
right.
came over?
Yeah, they'd practice and then they possibly practice all afternoon on Sunday.
Did you say your brother was in that band?
Those were my nephews, but then my brother went and joined him also. He played the piano accordion for a while. Mm. And also, that was uncle and nephews, you know, there was quite a difference in age. He should have taken up music sooner, but there was never no money, no incentive to do this. We weren't encouraged to expand much because there never was money to do these things. I interrupted you, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to ask you how you happened to meet and get to know your husband.
Oh, well, that was a good one. He happened to work at the Kimonani Manufacturing with my brother. And one day my brother came home for supper and he said, there's a fellow coming over tonight. He says, we're going out together. And he says, see that you talk to him. I was very bashful. He says, if I'm gone, he said, see that you open the door, let him in and talk to him. So evidently I made an impression on him because I could have had a date that night. But I was too bashful to go out. I had to think about this a while, you know. I was just happy that I had been asked. So then I went out with my girlfriend and my sister. We went for a walk, and I was telling the girls I could have went out tonight, but I didn't. So I took, from the 6th of February till the 22nd of February, if I really accepted a date, I thought I just can't put him off anymore.
Well, how many times was he asking you?
Oh, a couple times a week, or just like about every day when my brother would come back from work, he'd say, Fred wants to kick you out. And, I was always helping my mother with something. Mm-hmm. So he caught on, you don't wash twice a week. I mean, you know, those days, there was a wash day. And I, we had Wednesday and Saturday and Sunday. We had shows at the movie house. Sometimes they'd run it Wednesday and Thursday. Well, you just weren't going to be busy 2 days in a row. So finally I accepted them. Date.
How old were you at that time?
About 16 and a half. But I went for my first dance with him that first Easter, so I was about 16 and a half. My mother really trusted me to go out with him in the car. Well, that was quite a distance. She said she thought the fellow looked honest, and she was right. But I mean, it would be kind of taking a chance.
Did you mostly go on dates to the movies then and to dances? And
yes. Well, he had to rent a car, you see, to go out to a dance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was an occasion. It was Easter. Those days, during lunch, you didn't go to dances. Hmm. And that was 6 weeks, you know. And then, of course, after Easter, then we go to dance. So first dance I went, wore my Easter dress and that, and he had rented a car. So it took a while before he had bought a car of his own. In the meantime, there was walking distance in town.
To the theater, you mean?
To the theater, and then we stop at a restaurant and have ice cream sundae, marshmallow.
How long did you know him before you were engaged and got married?
Well, I knew him, I met him in February, and we were engaged about 17 months. Hmm. I think the following fall we became engaged. You see, they laid off some men, and he had went back on the farm. Although we were going to be separated, and he had no car, and it was kind of a hard way to meet that way. So then we had secretly bought a ring about a month before, and I carried it. Nobody knew, not even my sister, just my folks knew. This was funny. So then after he was going to move back on the farm, all that, you know. He had an apartment in town. Mm-hmm. He shared with his brother. There was none of these apartments like these people nowadays. They sleep in. He had an apartment. It was just strictly bachelor apartments. So his brother had a car, I believe. But that was, I mean, you just don't go and see your girl with your brother's car, you know. Mm-hmm. So then we announced our engagement. But we were going together 2 years and 3 months, exactly. We got married in the Depression. I was 33. That was a very hard year. But it was just as expensive. We couldn't afford to go out. We figured when we're married, we'll be staying home anyway. You know, it was easier. It was true.
Was there anything else that we were going to cover that I've forgotten? Did you have anything written down?
Oh, that little prayer?
Oh, yeah. Is that in Walloon?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
The sign of the cross I have here.
Why don't you say that in Walloon for us then?
Well, this would be the sign of the cross in Belgium. The Père, the Fils, the Saint Esprit, Sweden. A little night prayer that my mother taught me. Je me couche sur le côté, comme Jésus-Christ a né seulement. Je prends le bon Dieu pour papa. La Vierge pour maman. Et je prends le de Jésus pour m'offrir de mes sous. Astur, petit Jésus, l'ai me dormi. That means, please let me sleep. The Père, the Fils, the Saint-Esprit, so I think that would be the little prayer.
What does the whole thing mean in English?
It would mean the sign of the cross. Yeah. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Then I would say, I take Jesus for my Father, the Blessed Mother for my mother, and the saints, the angels and saints for my brothers and sisters. Now, little Jesus, please let me sleep.
Oh.
It would be a translation for that, and then, of course, the sign of the cross again.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that the write Walloon, I'm sure I've never seen it, but people do write each other letters because they sort of do it like phonics, the way it sounds to them. That's the way they put it down, and that's what I've done here so that there wouldn't be no delay in trying to remember. You know, sometimes you're kind of lost for words, and so this is the way I would, this is the way it looks.
Oh.
That would be the sign of the cross. And this would be Jim Cooch, which I lie down. And that's the way I would translate it. Yes, you can take that. Yeah, you can take that if you like. This would be the sign of the cross, and then this would be the little prayer.
Then what's this part down here? Is that the beginning of it?
Let's see. Yes, this is the sign of the cross up to this little night prayer. And this is the way the prayer would start. That would be the complete one. This is the complete little prayer, and this would be, let's see. Well, I would almost say like this. because I remembered something as I was lying down one night, and I remembered, oh, there's a little more to it, you know how you do?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way it, Japan, Bodhia, Jim Kuch. I have to lie down first before I can, I don't know, you're supposed to really kneel down and pray, but I used to lay in bed and then pray. It was sort of kind of a lazy way as a little, excuse me.
Should I just turn it off or?
Yeah.
Okay, how about the English word doorway?
Doorway would be relish. Relish, that would be in the door. The door would be lish. The door. Yeah. The door would be relish.
Okay. How about clock?
Urloch.
How about window?
Finesse.
Table?
Tuf.
Pan. Like pots and pans.
Oh, platen.
Bedroom.
Chop.
Picture.
Property.
Stove.
Stief.
Plants. As in
The plant.
Lamp.
The lamp.
Tablecloth.
That's something. Mop. A mop.
Is that, how would the word table be then?
Toof. A toof.
Okay. So there's a separate word for tablecloth?
Yes.
And table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about oven?
A floor.
Chair?
Chair.
Okay. How about cupboard?
Dress.
Water?
The leo.
Coffee pot.
Well, no, probably the cafe. I don't know. Just, I can't think of that word. I'll come back to that.
Okay. Curtain.
Rideau.
Candle.
Chandelle.
Cup.
Tass.
Soup.
That's soup.
Oh, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Fish.
Pêchon.
Grass.
Yep.
This is fun. How about barn?
A stove.
Dog.
Chain.
Sister.
Sue.
Brother.
Frie.
Mother.
Mom.
Father.
Papa.
Aunt.
Ma tante.
An uncle.
Mamouk.
Let me see. Fork.
Foch.
Spoon. You can leave that one.
I just can't think of.
About knife.
Kutia.
And plate.
Plate. Plot.
Okay, how about food?
Amuni.
Milk.
Lasha.
Bread.
Point.
Beer.
Beer.
What was that?
Mm-hmm.
How about butter?
The beer.
Eggs.
The zoo.
Potatoes.
Canada.
Cabbage.
Cabbage.
Lettuce.
Salad.
Oh, that's like salad,
mm-hmm.
almost.
Salad. Mm-hmm.
Carrot.
Carrot.
Let me see, we missed. Did you think of coffee pot yet?
No, it's the way I would twist it around. Oh. Tafkir. Oh, God. How did I forget that one? Tafkir. I didn't know I could forget. Something like that.
We had spoon. That one you forgot too, maybe.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, well, that's okay. Let me think of what else.
Oh, I can't think of a spoon.
How about spices?
Oh.
Something like that.
I can't think of that word either. It'll come, but it's just done. Yeah.
Offer it done. Carpet.
Or rug, maybe.
Tapi.
I don't suppose there's a Walloon word for things like television or refrigerator, is there? They just
call
that, because it was, it's something new in the language. That
it would be refrigerator.
Was there a Walloon word for icebox that was different from?
No, I don't recall, so that's something that I didn't, we didn't have at that time either. Yeah.
How about articles of clothing, like shoes?
Oh, soli?
Socks.
Chaussettes. Chaussette would be an anklet. Chaussette would be an anklet.
Would there be different
kinds? Chausse would be a hose.
I see.
And a mitten would be the muff.
About dress?
Furo.
Pants?
Culotte.
Slippers? What is that?
Well, there would be... A soli would be shoes.
Yeah. Maybe there wouldn't be any difference in that language.
I can't right now differentiate.
How about blouse? Yeah. Or shirt?
Furo would be... Yeah. Furo would be dress. Blouse would be...
What would you
do there? Right now, I can't think of that one.
How about scarf?
Scarf would be scarf. I can't think of that either. That's funny. Yeah, I haven't used these words, and I'm wondering how I would have gone along, you know.
Yeah.
I would have to.
But you remember pretty many of them.
But, it's amazing. I don't know, my sister would have known any of those either.
How about hat?
Chapia. Chapeau, some would say, is really the French way, chapeau. But chapia, those were recently.
How about parts of the body, hand?
Mouin. Mouin.
Teeth.
The dent.
Hair.
Chia.
Ears.
Zore.
Eyes.
Zui.
Nose.
Ne.
Knees.
Nyo. Nyo would be my knees.
Legs.
Jump.
Feet.
Mes filles.
Arms.
Le bras.
How about body?
Cour. That's always, it's also the same name for underwear.
Oh, really? Cour.
It would be maybe a nightshirt, like, you know, cour.
How about morning?
Matin.
Afternoon.
Appel Danny.
Is there a difference between evening and night?
The nuit would be night. It would be nighttime. Nu would be nighttime.
How about sheep?
Sheep? Bevue.
Chickens.
Boy.
horses.
Chevaux. It would be a horse. Chevaux. It would be horse. Dog would be chien. Cat would be che. Bird would be mouchon.
What potato bug?
The bias de Canada. That would be a bug on a potato. That's what you'd say that. Mouse would be souris. Pencil would be crayon. Huh. Crayon would be crayon too. Huh. And differentiate, you'd have to say maybe crayon pour colorie, that would be a crayon to color then.